All right, we're speaking on the subject of living in the supernatural. And today we're continuing our message series, and the message title is Understanding the Supernatural. Understanding the Supernatural. I'll start reading at verse 5 of Galatians chapter 3. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. So we're again talking about understanding the supernatural. Now, the enemy does not like this topic, because if you teach the supernatural, eventually you're going to see the result of the supernatural. Somebody is going to have the unction to act on it. Supernatural teaching always yields supernatural results. So now, as we look at this, this time of the supernatural is a time that we're in now. I say the church is in, because we're going out preparing for Jesus to come back. And when we leave this place, I think we're going out with, can I use the term, a bang? We're not going out here begging for rent money. We're going out here on top, not under the bottom. And so as we look at this, Paul here is talking in the revelation of the Holy Spirit about working miracles. And miracles are something that the Bible is packed with. It's the action of the Word. And this manifestation of the supernatural is something that the world is crying for today. If you look and see that how more and more of the things like the occult, stuff like that, are coming up, because the basic part of it is that humanity came from a supernatural God. And God is supernatural. Now, we're not talking about an event. We're talking about a lifestyle. And the supernatural is just as predictable as anything else that has a law. That miracles are predictable. It's not something that is like the lottery or is not magic or luck. It's a miracle, and it's something that is highly predictable or totally predictable, and it's based on spiritual laws just like anything else. So we're talking about the supernatural and talking about living above this natural three-dimensional sphere of influence. We're talking about living in another dimension. Now, when we do that, talk about that, then at the same time, we've got to talk about Jesus and what he did, what he was doing when he came in this earth, and how he was coming in this earth to redeem humanity and bring us back to the place where Adam was in the beginning, before all of this fall and all of this, can I use the term, low life, took place. So now he came into a world that was full of a Babylonian system. Now, Babylon is, as I said to you before, it is a system that tries to meet its needs without God. And I use the Genesis chapter 11, where Nimrod, Genesis chapter 10, where Nimrod took over as the first king and was setting up this system. The unique thing about it is it has no way of increase. It functions purely driven by a social system. And the social system has to do with any isms that are not of the kingdom of God, the communism or socialism or any one of those isms. And people are trying to meet their needs without God. And that's difficult because God, one, is a need meter. And secondly, there is no increase without God. So people are trying again to meet their needs without God, and you absolutely can't do it. Now, what they can do in that system is try to promise you a lot of things. And try to promise you what they'll do, you know, chicken in every pot, and promise you, you know, you can get this and disability that and pension that and so forth and so on. But if you look at those pots, they're drying up. And they're drying up because those systems always end up in poverty. They don't ever end up in abundance. And I don't care what system it is, it's because there's no God in it. And if you got no God in it, it's a dead system. It has no life in it. So what do you do when people are in that system? Sometimes we call it socialism or whatever have you. But it's like, you know, you got this and I want it, so I'll go take it. Well, how are you going to take it? Well, I'll have a war. And a war, and we'll take what you've got. We'll take what you've got because we need it. And we'll take it and use it. And when we run out of that, we're going to go over to somebody else and take what they've got and use it and so forth. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that this particular people will start a war with that people. Sometimes they just start a war in their own country. They just let them war against each other. And see, when they war against each other, all of a sudden I raise up a leader over there that'll come up and give me what I want. So that kind of system. And that's what happened is those systems when there's no God in it. So God has the increase. He's the one that brings increase. That's why the blessing was here. The blessing came so that the blessing could bring increase in our lives. And so God wants to do that. Now, I'm saying that I don't think it ever was meant for the government to take care of the poor without God. Because eventually, whoever they're taking it from going to get mad about it is coming over there. And that's what's happening pretty soon right now. So the only way government can increase without God is print some more. So what they'll do is they'll print some more money. I'll just print some more. I don't have enough out there. I'll just print some more. Well, when they print some more, it's just like you having lemonade. And all of a sudden, you're taking lemonade and pouring more water in it. Well, if you keep pouring water in it, what happened to the lemonade? See, pretty soon it loses its value. It loses its potency. It loses everything. So the same thing happened. Keep printing money. Just keep pouring it in it. Just keep pouring it in there. And all of a sudden, everything looked like it's going up. It's not going up. The dollar is going down. You know, the gold will still buy as much today as it did 1,500 years ago. My point to you is that the only thing that will replenish this earth is the blessing. Got it? He said, he that giveth to the poor does what? Lendeth to the Lord, and that which he is lending will the God repay him again. I'm just saying there's a system that you can take care of the poor, and that's why I don't think it was ever meant for the government to take care of the poor without God. Because it doesn't have any life in it, folks. And all of a sudden, they're going to take care of the poor and don't want you to say anything about Jesus. Well, that's because the church's supposed to be taken care of. We're not supposed to be just trading money. We're supposed to be getting increase. I bless you, you bless me, I bless you, you bless me, I bless you, you bless me. Well, then, where's the increase? That's all right. As long as we're blessing each other, let's just bless each other. What kind of deal is that? Now, I'm trying to get you to see this. I'm trying to get you to see that Jesus got increase for them. They kept getting increase. Now you can take care of somebody else. So the blessing is the power to fix this planet as it wore through the ages. So when that blessing was on Adam, and the blessing then, because of Adam goofed it up, the blessing then came on Noah, and it was for to fix this planet through the ages, because now the curse is here. And the curse is going to wear things out. It's going to make things ruin. But the blessing will come in where the curse is, and the blessing will come in and straighten everything out. Lord have mercy. Let's go to Isaiah 51. You're going to go there and you're going to hear this and understand it. See, we got to get over this begging mentality. Somewhere the church has got to be the head. Now, when you start talking like this, people kind of get nervous. And the reason why they kind of get nervous is because they're living on the wrong system. They're living on a Babylonian system, which is not designed to give you increase. That Babylonian system is designed to promise you stuff it cannot fulfill. Satan has never fulfilled anything he has promised. He is a liar and the father of it. And all he does is promise you good things. And the next thing you know, you end at the end of life and you can't even write a $5,000 check. And you have worked all your life, sometimes 2 and 3 jobs, and you don't even have enough. Now that is a system that will strangle you and is designed to take every bit of breath out of you while you're working and have you die at 70 years old. And you're not supposed to die at 70 years old. And if you tell me you're supposed to die at 70 years old, you need to read this Bible. Matter of fact, I'm gonna go in there. I got some time now. I might flow with this thing. Look what it says here in verse 1. Hearken to me, ye, follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewed, and to the hole of the pit which you are digged. Look to Abraham, your who? Father, and to Sarah that bare you. For I called him what? Alone. And did what to him? Blessed him. And did what to him? Increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all your waste places. He will make her wilderness, come on, like Eden, and her desert like the what? Garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. You see, God's plan is to make ruined places like the Garden of Eden. I said God's plan is to make ruined places like the Garden of Eden. See, he plans to send you in there and you come in there with a blessing on you. And once you have the blessing on you, he wants you to bless and not curse. He wants you to come in there and love and not hate. And the tendency is to think that hate is stronger than love, that if I hate somebody, so forth and so on. And that's not true. The idea about it is the stronger force is the kingdom force. When you're talking about the kingdom of God, you're talking about a superior place. You're talking about another level of living. You're talking about superior principles from a superior government. And these are found throughout the Bible. You talk about love and peace. You're talking about justice and mercy. You're talking about the gentleness and unity and compassion and holiness. All these are superior. But you're coming into a world that is inferior. And it's been controlling people. It's had division in it. It's got revenge in it. It's got selfishness in it. It's got hatred. It's got manipulation. Now, all these seem powerful, but once you come in with a kingdom mentality, all these break down. They all bow. They thought they could get Jesus to hate somebody, but he wouldn't. He said, Father, come on, forgive them, come on, for they know not what they do. And notice, they thought they had killed him, thought they had polished him off, and that was the last of him. But in 3 days, he came back up again. Now, what am I saying? That these things that are principles of this lower kingdom are really doomed when you come to a higher principle or higher kingdom and have this kingdom to come in and rule through you. And I'm saying that it might look like the enemy has got advantage over you for a minute, but don't go by a minute. You know you're there. And you're going to stay there until it turns around. Now, I'm only saying this because all of this is a part of that Babylonian system. Their isms, all of them, communism ended up in poverty. Socialism ended up in poverty. All of them end up in poverty. And if you keep trying to do it that way, it'll end up in poverty here. My point to you is that's not the idea. The idea is to get the blessing. And once you get the blessing, you can offset every other thing that Satan has done. You can reverse any situation, and don't think anything's too hard. And that's why we got to this place called the God factor. The God factor is people, we said that people still not including God in their solution. In other words, even though people are born again, their minds are not renewed to a new way of operating. That they don't have to operate like they used to operate. Glory to God. You see, there, once you come into the kingdom, your mind's got to be renewed. Because when we were over here, we had something called, I call it dualism. Dualism, meaning that there's two things running inside of us at the same time. Meaning that in the Greek, that's where the dualism concept comes from. It's two separate things. Let me give you a case in point. I can go to church on Sunday, and I can go in the church house and hang out, holy, no, no, no. Then I get out here, and I cuss somebody out. But because it's dual, see, it's like church on Sunday, cuss on Monday. Church on Sunday, hate on Monday. Come on now. Church on Sunday, praise the Lord, steal on Monday. Church on Sunday, come on, fornicate on Monday. Church, oh, I'm going down there. Church on Sunday, see, and the reason for that is dualism. And that once you leave that thinking, come over to the Hebrew put holistic. It put everything together. It said there's no distance and difference between whether you're in here or out of there. That the same God is inside of you, whether you're in the church house or outside the church house. Say amen to that. So when you think like this over here, then you separate to two. But when you think like this over here, you unite to two. And this is not only Hebrew, it's the Asian thinking. That's why they can take some religions, can at a certain time of day, they put their little rug down in their business, they lay down and they pray to their God. Am I right about it? They can do that because they've never separated their business from their God. But people in the Western culture with this Greek mindset, all of a sudden, God is over here in church, but he's not in my paycheck. So I'm not going to tithe because he ain't got nothing to do with that. Yes, he does. He's the one that gave you breath. And the enemy has talked you out of thinking that God is in that place. Say amen to that. I'm cutting them up this Easter Sunday. Now, I'm only saying that all of a sudden the God factor is left out. So people bring me their marriage problem. I don't mind sitting and counseling them, but I can't counsel them outside of the Word of God or outside of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, they got the Word of God. They got the Holy Spirit. They can get the exact same thing I got. But the reason they don't want to get that like that is because they don't want to let God be Lord over their life. So they got to come to me. I'm not telling them who's right. I'm telling them what's right. It says this. It says this. It says this. Say amen to that. And if you just do that, you'll get the results. Now, what they've done is, again, they think they're playing with an intellectual devil. He is not intellectual. Go over there with me to Ephesians, please. In Ephesians chapter 6. Don't make me preach here. Alaba Hasata. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Look what it says. See, that's the danger of preaching the kingdom and not preaching my denomination. Well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm Church of God in Christ, I'm Catholic, I'm this, I'm that. Hey, get rid of that. You are in the kingdom. Your name is God Junior. And what you need to know is that's who you are. You are a child of the living God. Got it? Now, look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong, come on, in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. Put on the whole what? armor of God, that you may be able to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's go further. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against who? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, he's telling you right there that you're not wrestling against an intellectual devil. You're not wrestling against a devil that you can reason how he's doing this. You got to understand that if people knew that, God wouldn't put that in there. It's a spiritual battle. And many times he's using a door that you can't see to get in on your life. So for you to find the door, you're going to have to get the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will show you which way the devil is getting into your life. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. So I'm saying that's the same factor that I put in my life in terms of handling my affairs, in terms of counseling you, or whatever have you. But the God factor in the average believer has been left out. That has been left out. And we got to get back, get in prayer, start praising God, stop being mean and sticking your lip all out and talking about that's her fault. That's, the devil will make you think it's anybody's fault. Come on. And the next thing you need is a marriage conference. You need to get in the Word of God and find out what God said about you. And once you get a good notice of what he's going to God, I feel like I'm... Woo! The God factor. The God factor. I got to put God back in everything. I said, I got to put God back in everything. Is anything too hard? Come on. For God. With God, all things are possible. I'm just saying that's all it is. You got to take impossibility out of your thinking. You got to go into this thing saying, wait, there's an answer here somewhere. The Bible says over in the book of Romans, he said, don't fight evil with evil. But overcome, come on, evil with good. It's telling you that the stronger force is good. That means if somebody's treating you evil and you treat them good, you're going to come out on top. Now, the thing about it, in your natural mind, you're trying to figure out how can that be? It ain't for your natural mind. Man, this stuff is so higher than your natural mind. Does it make sense to you here now? All right. If I step on your toes, Jesus is in the house. He's a healer. He's going to heal your toe. So now what did I say? I said with God, nothing can be impossible. Anything too hard for God? The answer is no. The next thing I said is all things are possible with God. So I got God in my life. And even if you're talking about living a long life, I said I wanted to comment on that for just a minute in the God factor. Because somehow we think we're supposed to live 70 or 80 years and that's it. Honey, that's middle age. I'm telling you right now. Come on now. Come on. Come on. I can't go there now. Well, I will go there. Praise God. Come on, let's go to Genesis chapter 47. Folks, I got some stuff that'll rock your world. I'm telling you. But you see, we got to get in this word. We got to find out what God said because the truth is in here. It's right here. God will give it to you. Look what it says here. This is when Jacob and all the family came down to join Joseph in Egypt, and he brought all the family down and so forth. Now he is being brought before Pharaoh. Verse 7. And Joseph brought Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. We're not out to hurt nobody. Verse 8. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Watch this now. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days and the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Let me put it in my own words. I'm a little embarrassed to tell you, because I'm look like I'm beat up, and I haven't even reached the age of my daddy and my granddaddy yet. Because my granddaddy Abraham lived 175 years, and my daddy Isaac lived 160 years. I got some way to go here. Now, what am I telling you? What robbed him of that? What robbed him of that is his worry about Joseph. He thought he had lost his son, because they brought him evidence that his son was killed by a wild animal. But the evidence was faulty. I'm telling you, the devil will try to bring you evidence of something that he wants you to believe that is not true at all. And what you got to do is first come back to the promise of God and see what God has promised you. Folks, I was preaching down in Fort Worth about the power and miracle working power of God, and I was preaching, and somewhere I jumped on raising the dead. Well, if you remember the God factor, here was Jesus, and they said, Jesus, the one who you love, Lazarus, is sick. And Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days. Y'all remember that? And now he stayed where he was. Now they're trying to figure out what's happening, because they were trying to get him emotional. See, they were trying to get him caught up in emotion, but Jesus was led by the Holy Ghost. So he stayed there 2 more days, and then he said, hey, let's go over there. So he went over there, and Martha and them met him when he was coming. Oh, if you had been here earlier, he would not have died. Jesus said, he'll rise again. What? He said, he'll rise again. He said, wait a minute, what do you mean? He said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection and the last day. Jesus said, no, you don't understand. You got to hear what I'm saying. I am. I am. I am the first and the last. My point to you is, Jesus ended up raising him up. Now, wait a minute. His body was decomposed. That's natural law, decomposition. But spiritual law took over and put natural law aside, put his body back together, and brought him out of the tomb. This lady heard me preach that. She caught me in the hallway. She said, Pastor, I want to raise my, uncle or whatever. I want to raise him up. I said, well, praise God. I need you to agree with me. I said, has he, y'all had him funeralized yet? She said, no, he's been dead for 3 weeks. Now, this thing kind of threw me just a minute until I went to the Bible. Come on now. I'm thinking to work with your mind right now. Y'all looking at me like I done crawled out from under something. Let's go. This is a side trip. No charge. I just got to do it. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 27. See, when you say take impossible out of your vocabulary, You mean take it out. I said take it out. If God will take Jesus and put a decomposed body back together and bring him out of the grave, Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do too. Now you gotta hear this, because the only thing blocking you is the training and the programming that the world tried to put in you. Tried to program all the supernatural out of you. But Jesus is coming to put it back in you. Say amen to that. And gonna make it so you don't struggle with it. Say amen to that. Boy, when he says he's giving you favor, what kind of favor do you think that is? He's giving you favor so you don't have to have one contact at City Hall. Come on. You don't have to have one union to agree with what you're about to do. Listen, you better hear me now. When I say favor, I mean coming from a divine source. He doesn't want one person to get the credit for opening that door. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Brace up now. You got to say, wait a minute. God is on my side. And once you say that, you don't have to be concerned about whether they're going to promote you or not. Because promotion don't come from them. Say amen to that. So here is Jesus. He died for our sins. Are y'all with me? Is it all right if I talk about this? See, Jacob missed it because he didn't go to the Word. He didn't go to his covenant. He got caught up in a game and thought his son was dead. The covenant said he can't, David, the devil can't take your son. And if you stand on the Word, if he took him, you got to give him up. Now this is not for weak-minded people just looking for somewhere to have church on Easter Sunday. This is for people who are ready to take back everything that's been taken from them. I'm fed up with watering down my sermons so that I can make it so everybody will be happy. No, sir. I'm putting it way out there. Now come on out there and get it. Woo! It ain't over till it's over. Jesus said, you don't know who I am. I am the resurrection. Look what it says here when Jesus was raised. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. When Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of them graves after his resurrection, and went into the Holy Spirit and appeared to many, and probably preached the gospel. Don't tell me what God can't do. He can open every cemetery right over there in that place and put everybody back together and make them preach. It's time for some believers in here. Folks, we are going into a season of suddenly. I said we are going into a season of suddenly. And that is found, glory to God. It's found in Isaiah 48:3. Put it up on the board, please. Isaiah 48:3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them, and I did them when? Suddenly, and they came to pass. I'm talking about suddenly, your debt's gonna be canceled. Suddenly, your promotion gonna go up. Suddenly, you're gonna be delivered from them habits. Suddenly, a manifestation of your healing. Suddenly, you're gonna be a millionaire. Suddenly, I'm talking about. Now, sit down, let me finish this. I'm telling you now, if you're 80 years old, you're middle-aged. Now, there are some redemptive things that have been given to you as a redemptive heritage. A heritage is something that belongs to a person by reason of birth. You can find a lot of these in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. I'm not going there. But one of the things God has given you, redemptive-wise, is strength. Is strength. And Joshua said over in Caleb said over in Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, he said that I'm as strong today. Now he's 85 years old now. I'm as strong today as I was when I was back there 40 years ago, when I went to search out the land of Canaan. Look how God preserved him. I said, one of your redemptive heritages is strength. And you got to use your tongue right to keep your strength. Because death and life, come on, are in the power of your tongue. You always declare what God's word said about you. I don't care what others said about you. And guess what? Maintain your joy. Because in Nehemiah 8, chapter verse 10, it says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Another thing God has given you as a redemptive heritage is honor. He said, I'm calling you to honor and not to shame. I'm telling you, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, over there where Eli's son, Hophanes or whoever it was, his two boys, they acted up and dishonored God. And because they dishonored God, he dishonored them. The Bible says God will honor those who honor them. Over in Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor God with your tithe, with your first fruit. That's why people who are not tithing don't get honored, because God will not honor those who will not honor him. Honor him with your business. Honor him with your family. Honor him with your heart. Say amen to that. Amen. Another redemptive heritage is wisdom. God has given you wisdom as a birthright. I'm not talking about something that comes off the board in those schools. I'm talking about something that only comes from God. He has given you unusual insight. From now on, witty ideas and new inventions are going to be flowing through some of these people. God has given you riches. The Bible says that Jesus also received for us riches. Glory to God. Now, if you talk about riches, you got to look at what you're doing, because you got to recalibrate your mind on this. He's not talking about riches that folks look at down here, because when you get to heaven, there are no houses in heaven. There are only mansions. There ain't no bungalows. There are no trailer homes. There are only mansions. Come on, help me now. Now, what am I saying? Jacob was embarrassed because he only lived 135 years. He was embarrassed about that. And I'm saying, folks, that God wants to make you and me a witness. Now, to get all of this, you're going to have to see God not only as your source, but you're going to have to see him, come on, as your only source. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that it's true all through this Bible, how God, the supernatural, worked. How it worked for Abraham. Brought Abraham and made him have a child at the age of 100 years old. He got Joshua marching around the walls 7 days, and the walls fell down flat. In Judges. Judges, he had Gideon. Gideon chose 33,000 men. God made him get rid of everybody but 300. That's all God needs. Just give him and a few and no more. How about Esther? Esther had to come into a king's throne room. Not invited, you get killed. But what happened? Favor got on Esther. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. What did they do to win the battle? They called for all the singers and all the praisers, and they came out and started praising God. Next thing you know, the battle was won. How about 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19? That's when Hezekiah couldn't fight the battle, so he sent to the man of God. Man of God sent back a note. Hezekiah went up in the temple and spread the note before God. The note said, you'll not need to fight this battle. You're going to give me the battle, and I'm going to take the enemy and bring him back to his own homeland, and I'm going to do away with him right there. How about 1 Kings chapter 17? And again, here's the man of God coming to the woman. The woman had one more meal left. He said, feed me first. How about in 1 Kings chapter 18? Here's when a man of God called down fire from heaven. He had the prophets of Baal, but they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything because they didn't have a God factor. They didn't have God in their hearts, and they were still waffling between two opinions. Let me show you that real quick. Let's look at Psalm and Psalm chapter 16, please. I'm just trying to get you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own, come on, understanding. In all your ways, do what to him? Acknowledge him. And what will he do to you? He will direct your path. Look at verse 4 of Psalm chapter 16. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. In the Message translation, he says, don't just go shopping for a God. God is not for sale. So I'm here to tell you right now, the God that we serve is not for sale. And now Daniel chapter 3, here's the three Hebrews. Notice they went in the fire, but notice the fire wouldn't burn them. Here's Daniel, he got thrown in the lion's den, but notice the lion wouldn't bite him. In the New Testament, it starts out with miracles. Here's a virgin, her name was Mary. I'm talking about in the Gospels now, but Mary's, the angel said, you're gonna have a child. She said, how is that gonna happen to me? I don't even know a man. He said, the Holy Ghost gonna come on you. And that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be the Son of God. How about at the end of that? And the end of that is the resurrection of Christ. He died for our sins, your sins and mine, but he didn't stay dead. Buddha is still dead. Confucius is still dead. But Jesus got up. Not only did he get up, he went in there with the disciples, he ate with them, blessed them, and then stood up, and God carried him on up to heaven. I'm telling you, you can be a millionaire in a month. I'm telling you, with all the attributes that you've got faith on your side. You've got the blessing on your life. You've got the word of God in your heart. You've got the blood of Jesus that's spread for you. You've got praise and worship. You've got angel armies. You've got favor. You've got the supernatural increase of the authority and the mercy of God. You've got the nature of God, the grace of God. You've got Jesus. You've got wisdom. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got revelation. You've got the gifts of the Spirit. You've got the fruit of the Spirit. Why can't you be a millionaire in a month? All you got to do is believe. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. In Jesus' name.